Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada, and sports fans around the world. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on a Thursday, August 29th. This is episode number 63 of the program. We're coming to you from the bunker in beautiful Western Canada. I am the host, as the sign says, Rod Peterson. He's the co-host, Darren DuPont. If I'm peas, he's carrots.
Good, I like carrots. I don't like peas.
How's that for a Forrest Gump reference?
The opposite.
Right out of the game.
The opposite?
Yeah.
And the guy jumping right in is the silver fox, Kelly Rempel. How are you, Fox?
I like peas, but I don't like carrots.
Gotcha. I like them both. As our business manager, Tyler Gross, said when I strode through these doors 20-some minutes ago, it's sweater season.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly sweater season here. Fall is upon us. Is that the truth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I have something to say about that.
Sure.
I think I might be the only person that I know that actually loves this time of year and looks forward to it.
I think you are the only one that
I
know.
Everybody gets depressed and, you know, now the leaves are starting to turn color. And it's my favorite time of year. NFL starting up, WHL starting up. And, you know, my son's football, we're out there coaching and the weather starts to turn, you know, a little bit crisper. It's football season.
Ripped guys are putting their shirts back on.
Yeah. That's another thing.
That kind of thing.
All good things.
All good things.
That's right.
With this time of year. Coming up on the program today.
Never
did you change the camera shot, Darren? Why am I just boom right into people's
Finally, they can see you.
I liked it better the old way. I just show up and talk. They line up all this other stuff, as you well know. Anyways, on today's program, Mike McCullough, looking forward to this, former Rider and a future Hall of Famer, Plaza of Honor member, I believe. Mike McCullough will join us, two-time Grey Cup champion out of St. FX, Kingston, Ontario product. Kevin Glenn will be making his second appearance ever on the program, and I have no idea what he wants to talk about other than Clark Munro obviously lined him up, and we will forever owe a debt of gratitude to Kevin Glenn, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm talking about, Rems. Episode 3.
Breaking the big,
yeah,
the big
only
news.
The third show we'd ever done, Kevin Glenn comes on here to announce his retirement on his 40th birthday. We think a lot of Kevin Glenn. We're going to bring him back on today to talk about how his retirement's going and where things are at from his perspective going into the second half of the CFL season, because it is Labor Day Classic weekend in the Canadian Football League. We have not put up our traditional poll question just yet for what is Canada's game of the week. I get a pretty good idea what it is anyways. But I changed the poll question today because I saw a tweet from Sportsnet 590 Radio in Toronto this morning. And obviously you saw it too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you did, Kelly. But it said, would you support an NFL team in Toronto? And I'm like,
here we go again. Failed experiment.
How many times do you guys need to realize in Toronto you're not getting a team? What is it going to take? So here it is. The Argos go and sign a 7-year-old leukemia patient today. Kind of a children's wish thing. And they don't want to talk about that in Toronto. They want to talk about, can we get an NFL team? Like, it's not coming.
No.
Now, on the flip side, there's many of us that I think you guys are included in that would love to see a CFL team in Halifax. And you know what? That might be a pipe dream too. And that's what's led to the poll question for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. What happens first? An NFL team in Toronto, a CFL team in Halifax, or neither? You guys want to take a stab at that?
Oh, It's not going to be an NFL team in Toronto. That's not going to happen. So it's now it's down between the
CFL and Halifax.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like, you know, it's 50-50, really. I mean, I don't know. I think that there are enough people that want to get it done that I still hold a little bit of hope. Like, I do hold some hope for the Halifax situation, but there's zero for the Toronto. So that's where I stand on it.
Yeah, you know what? I think the CFL will come to Halifax long before the NFL comes to Toronto. You know, it's nice. It's nice to think about it. I know Toronto considers themselves kind of American city adjacent, right? Right there.
They're unpatriotic. Let's just say it.
A little bit. But, yeah, I don't think it's happening. I really don't. Not yet.
So we got... What are you voting for, CFL and Halifax or neither?
CFL.
We're both saying CFL and Halifax. The thing is, the NFL, Toronto, you blew it. You had a chance with the Bills series. You didn't fill the stadium, and it's hilarious. They're like, we don't want the Bills. We want a winning team. So does everybody else. Get in line. It doesn't work that way, unless you're New England. So, no, I don't.
Chance. There's your chance to buy a ticket to fill the place and show the NFL that you want a team.
And they blew it.
They weren't even close. I think they had 39,000 people and 60,000.
Weren't even close. And the other thing is, Jim Lang, who is Canada's foremost NFL expert who's been on this program, said to me a few years ago, the biggest reason that they're not going to get a team is because of the stadium. That's what it is. They certainly have the population. They do love football, I believe. But they can't play in Rogers Center. It's 55,000 seats. It's now 30 years old.
Do they love football?
Well, now we're going down a really good road because Jim goes, well, Rod, Toronto's an NFL city. I said, really? Well, then Regina's an NHL city, Jim. Just because we like it doesn't make us a city. Come on. And he goes, well, there's Cowboys fans, there's Viking fans, there's Bills fans. Yeah, because you don't have one team. Saskatchewan, sorry to say, is not an NHL province because we don't have a team. And frankly, I like the fact that we're sitting in the Bermuda Triangle of the NHL, as I like to call it, right between Calgary, Edmonton, and Winnipeg, because we get a different game on television every single night. We're in all their regions. This is the greatest place in the world. So I guess we're an NHL town. How's that? See what you learned today?
Yeah.
That's news.
Good rant.
And I didn't even plan it. And I didn't even mention, there you go, for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, Rod's rant.
See, if, spontaneous.
If Toronto is an NFL town, then Saskatchewan is an NHL province. Speaking of NHL, Darren Millard, everybody wanted to know where he went from Sportsnet when he left. News this morning out of Vegas, he is joining the Golden Knights as the host of their television broadcast. And they've smoked the crew that they've had the last couple of years there, which included Brad May. So there's some more broadcasting news for you. But the biggest guest today will be the one and only Kenny Miller, who will be joining us from the mountains of North Carolina. Wow. And we've been trying to line this up for a while, Kenny wasn't real confident in his technology computer skills to be able to pull this off. But Clark worked on him for days. And they tested it yesterday, or what, 2 days ago, I guess, Darren?
Yeah.
So Kenny Miller, the beloved Ken Miller, perhaps the most lovable coach in Saskatchewan Rough Riders history. Would I be right on that?
Joe Farragelli and Ken Miller.
Probably, Papa Joe.
Probably the two most likable coaches in Saskatchewan Rough Rider history.
Oh, you're serious about Farragelli? I never really... That was a long time ago, Kelly.
Yeah. Well, but that's why I'm here to bring back the past.
The historical.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think Joe Farragelli was adored by fans, and I think Ken Miller was adored by fans.
Difference being Ken Miller got the Riders to the Grey Cup. And
not saying they were equal as far as coaching ability.
Right. Just people liked them. Okay.
Right. Likeable people.
And I'm glad, actually, that you brought that up, because the CFL yesterday with New Era launched their new line of hats. Did you see that?
The retro.
Retro New Era hats. And they really whiffed on the Rider hat. They whiffed on it. It's mint. That's the color of it. Mint. Now, Clark, can we get a photo of that? It's on my Instagram or somewhere. It's on the commissioner's Twitter because I retweeted it.
Mint green.
Mint. And it says Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Like, what do the old school pictures of Eagle Keys and John Payne, what do they have in common? Do you remember what was on the hats that they wore?
No.
It was dark forest green with a big white S on it. Why wouldn't you do that? because
but that's not much different than just the regular retro.
But that's what they wore.
All right, Clark's got a job now. You got to find Eagle keys in these old retro hats, and then what the new era.
According to Clark, he says it's supposed to look like a faded old rider hat. Well, they've accomplished it. Oh, and by the way, it's not like I don't see 300 of those on a daily basis in this town. Why would they have to go buy a new one that looks faded?
Yeah.
Now I'm dating myself, clearly. It's like, why would you buy a set of jeans with holes ripped in them already? Makes no sense, but okay.
You haven't dated yourself. You forgot about Joe Farigelli.
Yeah, fair enough. That's right. I'm a millennial. Jason writes in this morning from Halifax, Ontario. He says, was nice meeting you in Moncton and giving a shout out on your page. Jason, my pleasure. This guy came up to me wearing a hat that said CFL Hobo across. And he said he's trying to trademark that. Guys, CFL. He's been in 10 CFL stadiums in the last 30 days, this guy.
Wow.
Jason. And by the way, he's raising money for families of Canadian soldiers who have committed suicide.
That's super cool. You know what? I saw this, and it was a Hockey News Things to Do Before You Die book. And it reminds me, in the Western Hockey League, they say you got to try the flat five in five, which is to go to all five Saskatchewan Western Hockey League arenas.
That'd be fun.
For a game in five consecutive days. I don't know if the schedule lines up every year for that to happen, but I think it can, or it used to.
You could do a five and six because they don't play Mondays and Thursdays.
Yeah, so now that the schedule changes, but you used to be able to do the five and five. So it reminds me what he's doing. If he's visiting all the stadiums in 30 days, that's pretty cool.
Speaking of, two things, camera angles. Casey's watching this morning in Regina, and he says he likes the old camera angle too. He doesn't care to see my nose hairs. I think he's onto something. I just noticed them in the gym mirror this morning, and I should have plucked them. If I would have known you're going to zoom in on me, I would have plucked my nose hairs before I came here. You're just dropping things on me all the time that I don't even expect.
It's fairly inconsiderate of these guys.
I know.
And then the other thing is Moose Jaw. We have a new sponsor, and I will ring the sponsor bell in a moment, but it is Sask Snow Beef. And at the game, Kelly, which I'm kicking myself 48 hours later that I didn't go to the game, because you did,
yep,
for the Pats and the Warriors of the night. Our new sponsor came out and introduced himself.
He did. I wanted to take a picture of Cody Beach reffing the game. So I kind of walked through down to the crowd so I could be close enough to the boards to take a picture of him so I could tweet it out and have some fun with that. And a fella, really nice guy, young guy, comes up to me. Hey, Kelly, how are you? Kelly Rempel, right? Silver Fox? I said, yeah. Ian Crosby, you know, and we started talking. And this guy's passionate about this snow beef.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the sponsorship and how much he loved the show. And he's got these ideas as to, you know, the type of sponsorship he was talking about, maybe doing like, a feature on prospects or whatever. I don't think we've nailed that part of it down completely. Maybe we have.
We have. It's prospects.
But he had these great ideas, and just the energy and excitement coming from this guy was just great. It was great. Great way to spend the third period talking to Ian. I loved it.
Sask Snow Beef.
Hey.
The newest sponsor here on the Rod Peterson Show. Thank you, Ian Crosby. Of all places, I met him on the beach in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico last winter. Yeah.
All I asked.
Where they have terrible beef. Mexico.
Yeah, it's not great, is it?
No, they don't have Sask Snow Beef there.
No, they sure don't. They sure don't. The only thing I asked him, if nothing else, if you're bringing samples, make sure it's on a Thursday. That's all I asked. Is that too much to ask?
Well, you know how I feel about bringing food samples into the bunker. I'm against it.
That's what we have a pre-show.
I don't like people eating on the show. Call me crazy. But anyways,
I didn't say we had to eat it on the show.
Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, writes in on the Facebook feed, 2-time Grey Cup champion. He says, I like the old camera angle too. No offense. Now I'm going to jump onto the desk, I think. Can you literally see my nose hairs?
No.
Maybe. Maybe you can't. Maybe they can.
I don't know. I need to get
my eyes
checked.
Can we have a discussion about this?
I need to get my eyes checked.
No, let's move on.
Maybe that's the new poll question. By the way, when we come back, NFL in Toronto, we'll get to. The other Labor Day Classic games this weekend I want to talk about, too. Edmonton-Calgary, Hamilton-Toronto. Will the Riders sign Chris Matthews? Everywhere I go, people are asking that. I was on TSN Winnipeg Radio this morning. They asked that. I don't know why they would. Tom writes in from Grand Prairie this morning. He says, Brendan Tamman in the Leader Post said he was trying to trade for Matt Nichols before getting fired in 2015. Interested on hearing some thoughts on that. I'm certainly down with talking about that. And Clark, our producer Clark, has found the CFL retro hats pick. So before we go to break here in the warm-up, can you throw that up, guys, on both screens? There's the one on the left and the one that we can see it, if you don't mind. There you go. I really like that ref hat, which is, or it's not a ref hat. It looks like a ref hat. The CFL one, top left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mark Cohan used to lose his mind when I used that logo all the time on all my digital stuff. He lost his mind.
Well,
he's like, Rod, we have a new logo for a reason. Yeah, but I like this one, Mark.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They've spent thousands of dollars.
Right. He would lose his mind.
The Argos hat is nice. I like the Argos.
The Argos is my favorite hat.
Good. It's
That's
nice.
The one I picked.
And you know what? The Ticats is classic and true to their nature.
Look at Edmonton. Hasn't changed in 40 years.
No. Yeah, that's probably my favorite.
I respect that.
That's cool.
That's probably my favorite one.
What else? Ottawa's is pretty. Hamilton's hasn't changed.
Yeah.
I like the old Ottawa.
And whatever the hell that thing is on the bottom left.
Yeah, what is that?
That is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Very Winnipeg-ish.
Don't like that one.
Anyways, we'll talk about that and more when we return. Whoa, that's me right into your phone, right into your hand. That's the warm-up. We'll be right back. Canada's most watched Facebook Live show is the Rod Peterson Show. And listen live on rodpeterson.com.
Employee pricing is back.
You pay what we pay with savings up to 19 grand on a 2019 F-150 Supercrew 4x4. And we got them starting at just $34,999 plus tax. Our new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting from just $24,999 plus tax. And you can save 6 grand on remaining 2019 Ford Explorers. Plus, most purchases qualify for $1,000 trade-in bonus cash.
You pay what we pay!
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Lynch.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's the first time you saw the Lynch.
Well, no, it's not the first, but every time I see Lynch in that Jeep with you.
John Lynch. We'll be here tomorrow.
Every time.
Sports awesome. Update for Ballers Rec Room, Canada's or Regina's newest entertainment destination, probably Canada's too.
Love that place.
The 2019 Canada West preseason coaches poll is out. The Calgary Dinos are favorites to win the Hardy Cup, receiving all 5 first place votes from coaches, coming in just ahead of last year's conference champion Huskies, who come in at number 2. The Rams in last place in the poll, but looking to do what the Huskies did last year and end up winning the Hardy Cup after being voted 6th. Canada West football season kicks off Friday, including the Huskies at the Bisons. Riders defensive back LJ McCray has been fined for an incident in the team's Week 11 win over Ottawa. The fine comes after McCray made contact with the head of Red Blacks offensive lineman. Sports update written by
intern
Connor Wallman, our intern. Hopefully I get his name right before he leaves his internship. Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. So we've got all the comments coming in here regarding the NFL team. Chell Carney, any relation to Rob Carney?
Chell, I'd be surprised.
Chell says, not sure who designed the hat, but he should have gotten 5 years in jail. That's awful.
Well, so should Rob Kearney.
That's the longtime voice of the Moose Jaw Warriors. Talking about the Ryder hat and the retro line the CFL unveiled yesterday. It's mint in color. It doesn't look very nice. My favorite is the Argos. That's a funny line, by the way. That reminds me of what my mom used to say about Harbor Landing. She said, whoever designed this sure as hell never had to drive in it. So, thank you. Shout out to my mom.
Try Quants in the East End.
Right. But you're starting to understand what I'm saying. Why would they not go with an actual Ryder retro hat? Forest green with a big white S on it. Like a block letter.
Well, I agree. And, you know, here's another thing I've been pondering while we've been sitting here. You use mint green, and the reason is because, if I understand this correctly, because you want it to look weathered. Well, here's something I'm just spitballing here, but weather doesn't mean it's a solid color all the way around. It means that it's kind of blotchy, like it looks like it's weathered. So one mint color is not going to do that.
Doesn't look weathered.
Do we have to design these logos now, too?
We got to do the thinking for everybody.
Yeah. Like, we're not busy enough.
George writes in on the Facebook feed. He says, I like the old shot where you can see the bobbleheads. Some are watching your nose hairs on a 65-inch smart TV. Did you ever think about that, DuPont? Anybody want to ask me what shots I would like to see for the show with my name on it?
This is your chance.
I like the old shot. Can we have a poll?
We can have a poll.
Can you change the website poll from the NFL CFL question, Clark, to which camera shot should we use? The new one or the old one?
Here we go again.
Vote now. And will you go with the results of the winner?
It's your show.
Is it? RodPeterson.com. And where do they vote? Because I'm not changing the Twitter poll.
Do it in the Facebook feed. I think we can add a second poll, can't we?
Do it in the Facebook feed? Okay, we'll do that. We'll add the poll. Rod and Kerry Monroe watching from Scottsdale, Arizona. Jealous here. Kelly, you're a bit of a football aficionado. I was on the air in Winnipeg this morning, as I mentioned. They asked me, how should the Riders defend Chris Streveler Sunday in the Labor Day Classic? And I said, I'm not a coach. I said, if they can cover on the back end, keep him in the pocket, he can't beat them. But I'm not going to talk about cover three, zone blitzes, this kind of thing. I'm not going to get into that. But I'll put it to you.
Well,
how would you defend Chris Streveler, Canada's Tim Tebow?
I would probably put, without getting too technical on this, I would probably emphasize that they would have to really load up on the outside. So I would make sure that, you know, the bootlegs, the options, those kinds of things didn't beat me, right? Things tend to get a little bit more cluttered in the middle of the field, so he's less likely to hurt you by running north and south. It's going to be play action. It's going to be, you know, trying to get his legs out in space. So I would try to take that away. The one huge advantage that they have is that it's hard to do that. It's hard to plan to do that when you've got the big beast in the backfield running the ball, Andrew Harris, but he's not there.
Yeah.
So now they have, I'm not saying that their backups won't be adequate replacements, but they're not going to be Andrew Harris. He's the best in the league. So that's one less thing you have to worry about. So my theory works, but it's hard to do if you also have to plan for the running back, but now you don't have to worry about him. So
you can focus on Streveler.
I would make sure that you take the outside of the field away from him and make him stay confined in the pocket and make him throw the ball down the field. And if he's good enough to beat you by doing that, then I'm willing to accept that. But I'm not willing to accept him running, peeling off 70 or 80 or 90 yards and kind of beating you with his legs. So I would make sure that not to bore people here, but your Sam and your Will linebackers, the strong side and weak side, I want them to make sure that they're crashing the edge so that this guy does not get outside. I don't think the Riders will. I mean, I know this sounds like a terrible thing to say. It's like I'm not giving Winnipeg enough credit, but I think the Riders have good enough athletes in those positions that they can also track them down a little bit. Like, they can run with them. I think they'll have success. I'm confident that they will.
I don't mind the technical answer. That's what a lot of our viewers want to hear.
Sure.
Some do, some
defensive
don't.
Defensive ends.
Yeah, we don't get into a ton of that kind of discussion.
Defensive ends also very important. They, you know, you can't lose your contain and those kinds of things. They have to, you know, force everything between the ends.
boy, Darren, your new camera shot's just getting dummied.
Well, yeah.
Dummied.
Apparently,
on the Facebook
feed. They don't want to see you all that much.
And I'm okay with that. You know that I'm okay with that.
I know. See, and that was part of it, right? I mean, we need to get better shots of you.
Who says?
On the shot. Well, we do.
Well, how come we don't get a tighter shot?
We should. It should be there, too.
No, we shouldn't.
Exactly. But I guess we just weren't patient enough. It was tough enough. Like, you got to understand, Kelly, it was tough enough to get Rod to do a show on television, like, and put his face
not on really my thing
all day long, right? And
this
now to get
this,
now
this
to get
the
him
same
more
guy in his early career, not early career, but when his early talk show days in radio, told me that he has anxiety attacks if he's in the booth by himself.
True,
but you'd never know that, right?
Well, I'm over them.
But now you got this anxiety about your head being too big.
Oh, yeah, it never ends. There's always something.
You'll get over that, too.
Well, you'll get over it.
Yeah, but will the viewers?
You know what? It's good in the long term.
The Warriors come all the way over from Moose Jaw and bring me a Braden Point bobblehead doll, and now people can't even see it. Larry Fitzgerald, my buddy Larry Fitzgerald, who I met in Arizona in the Coyotes owners, can't even see him, for God's sakes.
What are we doing here?
We can make it the bobblehead show. We'll just put a camera on.
Another rant, on
Josh Harding.
We're not even 30 minutes into the program yet. Which, by the way, it's episode 63 of the Rod Peterson Show. I'm shocked I haven't heard from the Boston Bruins fans yet this morning, because you know who wears number 63 for the Boston Bruins?
Brad Marchand
goes Tyler. Are you a Bruins fan too?
He's the only 8-year-old that's ever told me to F off.
Oh, the only 8-year-old that's ever told him to F off. Sounds like a story. That's from our business guy, Tyler, over there on the...
class act.
Marchand or Tyler?
Well, Tyler's a class act. I'm not so sure about the face licker.
Number 63, Brad Marchand of the Boston Bruins. In honor of show number 63 today, we recognize also from the NFL, Gene Upshaw, wore number 63. Longtime head of the Players Union. Ernie Holmes and Leroy Selman. Never heard of him.
No.
Have you? However, from the NHL, wore number 63, Tyler Ennis, Evgeny Dadonov, Marchand, as I mentioned, and Matthew Pekka.
Here's what I bet you didn't see coming.
What?
Didn't Rick Gultz?
Yeah, somebody wrote in. No, I didn't see that coming, but somebody wrote that in earlier.
I'm sure he did.
No, he did. Yeah. Somebody wrote it in here earlier.
Back in the Nick Hevler days. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Those were some great days in Rider Pride. Yeah. Was that when Joe Farragelli was the coach?
It would have been right around that time. I don't think he coached those guys when they were here, but yeah, it would have been right around that
time. Mike Ribeiro as well. By the way, on our poll question for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, what happens first, an NFL team in Toronto or a CFL team in Halifax or neither? From what I can see here on what Clark's telling me is 95% are saying a CFL team in Halifax will happen before an NFL team in Toronto. There. Yeah. 83% on Twitter are saying that's what will happen for a CFL team in Halifax. 17% are saying neither one's going to happen.
Well,
and 0% are saying the NFL will go to Toronto. Toronto, get it through your head. The NFL's not coming. And by the way, Evan writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line from Fredericton. He's either listening or watching from Fredericton, New Brunswick this morning. We have all these new friends out there in the Maritimes. He says, neither will happen. There is no political will to build a new stadium in Nova Scotia or Toronto. And that is my fear.
Because you need a stadium.
I think he's right.
You need a stadium in both, right?
You need a stadium in both.
Here's the one thing about the NFL coming to Toronto, and we... Even with the CFL in Halifax, we're in this era where show me first. I need to eliminate all the risk. I'm afraid to take a chance. I'm afraid to try something that I believe in. Right? So show me that Touchdown Atlantic will work. Show me that the Bills didn't work in Toronto and the Alouettes and Argonauts didn't work in Moncton. So it's not going to work. Well, it's a little different. Like, are you going to come to Regina to watch two teams that, you know, maybe aren't your team? Or are you going to support your team? Like, think of the lacrosse team, right? Would we have supported a game between the Toronto Rock and the Calgary Roughnecks coming to Saskatoon? Would it have had 15,000 people?
Of course not.
No, but when a team comes and it's our own, then we want to support it. So it's the same thing in the NFL in Toronto. The Buffalo Bills come and we're like, oh, give us a winner. Yeah, some people will go to the NFL because it's the NFL.
But that's
But you'll go if it's your team.
The Buffalo Bills have Buffalo Bills have 7,000 or 8,000 season ticket holders from Southern Ontario, and that is, you know, that's, it's like saying that, well, people in Prince Albert aren't really Rider fans. I believe they are. I believe that they are, and I know what you're going to say, and you're not wrong. That yeah, but it's still the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and that's not really the Ontario Bills, and I get that. But the thinking behind the process in the first place was that, let's put a game in Toronto, but let's make sure it's the Bills, because there's so many Bills fans in Southern Ontario, it should be a slam dunk that if any team were to draw big numbers, it would be the Bills, and they couldn't even get 40,000 people to come to
my other
regular season game.
New pet peeve about sports marketing. And by the way, Monty in Saskatoon is watching. Did you see his comment? It's Monty.
Hi,
Can
Monty.
You please move the bobbleheads back to the camera the way it was? Monty, I'm with you, bud. But just ahead of Kevin Glenn, who is on video chat, and we'll bring him in momentarily, everybody talks about the cultural melting pot that Toronto is, and really every city in Canada is, with new Canadians coming. They're like, we need to get them into the stadium. They don't want to come.
No.
They like cricket. And if, for all of us that grew up watching hockey and football and baseball, do you want to go to a cricket game?
No.
Don't want to go.
No.
They don't want to go to these
offense.
Games.
Yeah.
No offense. That's their thing. This is what traditional Canadian sports fans. So I don't understand those that try and think that we're going to get new Canadians into CFL stadiums. Why would we? We're not going to watch their sports. Why would they come to watch ours?
Darren does bring up a fair point, though, in the sense that, you know, it's like the nonsense that would make somebody actually think that you can have the Oakland Raiders and the Green Bay Packers play in Winnipeg, and you're going to get a huge crowd even in a preseason game. There's just, that's not Oakland Raider country, and it's not, you know, people don't love the NFL so much that they're going to watch bad football for two teams that, frankly, not that many people like.
By the way, NFL Network was re-airing the game last night, Winnipeg.
Oh, goody.
And I'm like, why are you doing this to your viewers? I thought you were trying to attract viewers. Which reminds me, Darren, when are we going back to the old camera shot? We're trying to attract people here. Anyways, let's go out on the video chat. Kevin Glenn joining us from, well, I'm assuming, can only assume Detroit, Michigan. There he is. Good morning, KG. How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear you just fine. I hope you can hear us. Obviously,
right.
You do.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you start with our poll question and answer it in your way, if you don't mind? What happens first? NFL team in Toronto, they call Toronto home, or a CFL team in Halifax? What do you think happens first?
I think a CFL team in Halifax.
83%, yeah.
See, I think probably that happens first before an NFL team comes to Toronto. I just don't think that the market is there right now for it. And with Buffalo being so close, you know, if guys or people want to see an NFL game, they can drive to Buffalo.
Right. So, well, you're a good guy to ask as a guy that belonged to nine teams. And by the way, I was just at Touchdown Atlantic. I would like to see them start playing now. Not going to happen, but would you, they could suit up a pretty good team right now with yourself, Weston Dressler, Rob Bagg. There's got to be a lot of old linemen hanging around. Like, this would be the year to do it, wouldn't you think?
How did I know that was coming? You were probably right. You have a very, veteran team, and we probably would do pretty good. We should even get Mike Abu to come out of retirement and come play.
He's about 100 pounds lighter than his playing weight, just so you know. So it would take him a while to get ready. KG, you got a lot of things to get to with you, particularly going into Labor Day weekend, because I know you got some memories there, but you still fielding some calls? There's a lot of quarterbacks have gone down this year in the CFL. Has your phone been ringing?
A couple weeks ago, but not as of late. I think with the situation with Winnipeg, I think everybody kind of knows now that it's kind of a done deal.
Can you take us into that locker room in Winnipeg if you can? If you have an idea what they're going through right now with all this adversity over the last couple of weeks?
Oh, I honestly think that Winnipeg's locker room right now is good. I don't think that they're going through anything remotely negative right now. When I was there the last time, that was one thing that I kind of like thought was really, really good was that locker room. The way that the guys in the locker room banded together whenever there was adversity. And I think they have a really good coaching staff who's going to put those guys in a position to be successful, even though it may be the second or third, you know, team guys.
Kevin, don't you agree that sometimes, even though you don't want to see starting quarterbacks especially go down and whatnot, but don't you think that the adversity that you face at this time of year, different guys getting opportunities they may not normally get, you know, can pay dividends down the road? So it might cost you a game or two here or there, might even cost you a spot in the standings. But in the long term, sometimes getting that adversity over with early in a season can actually be a positive thing as you get closer and closer to a playoff run.
I definitely think so. And that was basically kind of how I got a chance to play early on in my career. I got a lot of experience early on because we had quarterbacks that went down. I was behind Marvin Graves at the time, and we didn't do so hot in Saskatchewan at the time to make the playoffs. But, you know, I had a lot of playing time in that. I think that's what helped me, you know, sustain the career that I did. I do think one thing, though, is that when these starting quarterbacks get hurt and the backups or the third string guys get a chance to go in, I think we as fans now need to stop, you know, putting so much pressure on these backup quarterbacks, because it's like they go out in that one game, they have a good game, and then it's like if they go out and not do so well the second game, it's like, oh, he's a bust. And that's not true. You know, we got to make sure that we still support these second and third string guys when they get an opportunity to go in and play.
Yeah, but you know they won't. And they think, we're paying good money to get here. We're going to boom if we want to. You know we'll never change their thinking on that.
But we've been around this sport a long time, and I've been around the CFL, and everyone knows that there's an opportunity for the starter to go down at this point in time. And a lot of – you don't necessarily get those Bo Levi Mitchells. You know, he was a guy that came right in and was able to grasp – the game itself with the help of other guys around them and play and take over, you know, a team at a very young age. And there's not always that, you know, you don't always get the Bo Levi Mitchells.
Kevin, I'm really interested to ask you this. I just wasn't on my radar, but since we're on this subject. So in a locker room, I realize you got all kinds of different personalities, but when people are getting trashed on the team in the newspaper or on, you know, radio talk shows and the nonsense starts, how much talk is there in the dressing room about that? Does anybody ever come in with a newspaper and set it down and they're agitated beyond and people rally behind that stuff? Or does it rarely ever come up? Or how much attention do players on the whole pay to this stuff?
I don't think they pay too much attention to it, like out front. You know, people read the papers and they read the blogs and everything, but they don't make too much bigger news of it. You know, they kind of like rally around the guys. And I think at the end of the day, because it's the ultimate team sport, you have to, because I have to stay, you know, I have to support this guy in order for the team to win, which gives me success too. So I can't, you know, I can't fall into the negative responses and a negative bashing of a player because I'm not as his teammate, I'm not going to be successful either.
I think KG, you would be a wonderful CFL ambassador for a lot of reasons, but one is you've got an experience here for Labor Day Classic. You've experienced it from an Eskimo a Stamps background, a tie cap, Riders, Bombers. Like, you must have a million memories this weekend.
I do have a million memories, but I still want to find out, is there any other quarterback that has won in every Labor Day Classic?
You're undefeated on Labor Day weekend?
No, I'm saying, is there any other quarterback that has won all three Labor Day Classics, has been a winning quarterback in all three Labor Day Classics?
Wow. The Toronto Hamilton, the Edmonton Calgary, and the Saskatchewan Winnipeg.
One guy?
I've been a winner in all of them. I'm trying to figure out if there's ever been another quarterback.
My guess is no. So I read it wrong. You're not saying you're unbeaten on Labor Day weekend. What you're saying is you've won for every team.
There's three Labor Day classics. There's the Riders and Bombers. There's Calgary, Edmonton, and there's Hamilton, Toronto.
Right.
He's won all three of those games.
Right.
For somebody.
He's won every Labor Day classic, like in the three different games.
For all six teams?
In the three.
Not all six teams, but in the game.
Teams, but in the game, the actual game. Follow us, Rod. Come on.
Come on, Rod. Stay with us here.
I think you've lost just as many as you've won, potentially. Am I right on that?
I don't know. We had to do the record.
Yeah,
exactly. I played in a lot of them.
Nobody ever talks about that. What is your favorite? Because you have played in all of them. What's your favorite one?
Great question.
I mean, I'm gonna be biased, and I'm gonna have to say it's the Saskatchewan Winnipeg, and it's just, I don't know. It's the atmosphere. It's the atmosphere of the game. You know, all of the games have a big game atmosphere, and it's unlike no other regular season game. But that Winnipeg Saskatchewan game, on both sides, it's just unreal. And I think it has a lot to do with the fans outside of the game, and not even during the game, but everything, all the antics that happen leading up to the game. I've been in situations where, in Saskatchewan, we would have to sleep in the hotel the night before the game. And I can remember, like, Winnipeg fans playing football out in the street outside the hotel. Like, they're playing, like, it wasn't flag football either. It was like tackle in the street, you know.
In the parking lot.
The night before the game, in the parking lot. And, like, fans running up and down the hallway, banging on doors. And, I mean, it's just... it's just crazy, you know. So I would probably have to say the Saskatchewan Winnipeg game is probably has been the most exciting.
Yeah, that is a great sales pitch right there. And lastly, KG, before we let you go, I've heard nothing other than that retirement's treating you great, but I haven't heard it from you. How are things here in retirement?
It's pretty good, you know. Retirement is good. I'm helping out with my coach. In the high school, as far as this football team is going. So it's great to just be around the family and being able to even sit back and watch the games as a fan. You know, I talked to, it's kind of a funny situation where I talked to Kahari right before the Moncton game, and he talked about that play that he ran with Vernon that we actually ran back when I played in the game when I was in Hamilton. So just to, you know, to be involved with that kind of stuff and sit back and actually get a chance to watch it as a fan and to be around the family, you know, the first day of school is coming up. This will be the first time that I've ever had a chance to see my kids go to school, you know, on their first day. So all that kind of stuff, like a first for me, the first family reunion I've been to in probably 18 or 19 years, that kind of stuff has really been good.
Good for you, KG. Great visit this morning. I appreciate it. Let's do it again here in the second half.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Kevin Glenn joining us from Detroit, Michigan this morning on video chat. We're going to pause. Got another special guest coming up in the bunker right after this break. You're watching Canada's most watched Facebook Live program, The Rod Peterson Show, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Rod Peterson Show. I want to say good morning, Canada, but we got viewers down in North Carolina today. They're telling me Washington, D.C., New York City. Welcome to number 63, episode number 63 of the program today. Kevin Glenn certainly got us talking in the break about his being the only quarterback he believes to win all three Labor Day Classic games. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, he's even scouting from the couch, Kelly, telling us as he watches this morning, he thinks that Henry Burris might have done the same thing.
Dunnigan?
And Dunnigan. Mike Lee watching this morning, he says he thinks Matt Dunnigan could. I don't want to burst Kevin's bubble, however.
Well, it's an interesting, let's put it
it's a great question.
There's not many.
No. Only special guys.
Then again, there's not many that have played on eight or nine teams.
No. Speaking of special guys, we welcome Mike McCullough to the program today. Number 45. We brought his name up on the 45th episode of the program. 11 seasons with the Riders. How you doing, Michael?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good, good. How's life with you? I haven't seen you for a while.
Good. We were in Ontario for 6 weeks. So
you always do that every summer.
Well, yeah, we have a cottage there, so we tend to go back.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What lake do you go to?
It's Lake Clear, not Clear Lake. Lake Clear.
Lake Clear, just outside Kingston, Ontario?
No, about an hour 15 northwest of Ottawa.
That's good. And how was summer out there? Hot, I understand.
Great. We had 3 hours of rain in 6 weeks, so it was pretty amazing.
Wow.
Actually. Yeah.
Now, you're a stickler for details. That's what you do now.
I am.
Right.
I'm very detail-oriented.
You're very detailed. So you're standing there trying to figure out, I think like me, what Kevin was saying, and you couldn't hear him. So what do you think about that stat that he just... You played with and against him in a lot of Labor Day games.
Well, like maybe I misconstrued it. I thought he was saying he'd never lost one. But
so did I. That's
what but it makes sense that he played in every single one and probably won. Yeah, Calgary... With us, I don't think he ever beat us with Winnipeg. Maybe he did, but I can't remember. I don't think he did.
They didn't win much here.
No. And then he probably won with Hamilton. Yeah, so he probably did win all three at one point. Definitely has at least probably a 500 record, though.
You know, which he didn't want to talk about. But
what, losing? He didn't want to talk about losing?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Kevin Glenn, Hall of Fame or not, I'm a thumbs up on it. As obviously so are you and 100%. Kelly, too.
100%. I mean, if he had one championship, it'd be a no-brainer. But I think that's the only thing holding them back, and people just kind of harp on that a little bit. But, you know, guys like Dan Marino, you know, obviously we're going to the NFL, but guys like Dan Marino, Fran Tarkenton, they make the Hall of Fame there. You look at his numbers alone, if that's what you're going by, then yeah, he should be in the Hall.
No two ways about it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Halls of Fames, how was yours last week? I mean, you're a shoe-in for the Ryder Plaza of Honor, too, but last week you watched as Kerry Joseph and Neil Hughes went in. How was the event for you?
It was great. Yeah, I got to induct Neil. It was fun. Took a couple shots, also talked some love for him. So, and it's great seeing Kerry again. You know, I haven't seen Kerry in, geez, I don't know, maybe 6-7 years when we played against Edmonton. But it was just good to catch up and, you know, have him back and kind of still be in the Ryder fold and see how many people still love Kerry. We brought him next to the suite next door at the game, and there was a lady there who was his favorite player, I guess, of all time. She just recently lost her husband, and he came for a visit and basically made her year. She was in tears and took a bunch of pictures. It was a really nice moment and, you know, typical Kerry.
You know, I've always been impressed, Mike, with your play, like the versatility part back when you played. Like, you could put you into so many different situations and play different positions and at that linebacker role. And I know that even some of your former coaches, like I believe the one that's joining you, Rod, later on in the show has said...
Kenny Miller, yeah.
Kenny,
You can't... It may not seem like a big deal, but when you've got players that can play multiple positions and you could just about throw anything at them and they're going to be able to do a serviceable and a really good job, even if it's not maybe their bread and butter, it's an invaluable part. You must take a lot of pride in that.
You just say that because I'm sitting here. If I wasn't sitting here, you'd probably be talking some smack. But
no, I would not.
No, it was good. You know, I think it in the long run, it helped me to, you know, last as long as I did, but also probably hurt me at times because... As I said, you know, they always knew they could fall back on me, so they'd try to find that person to start ahead of me. And granted, certain guys deserve to start ahead of me, such as Ray Williams. I mean, he was a phenomenal athlete. But other times I felt like, you know, I was maybe better than the guy ahead of me, and they, you know, they gave the team the opportunity to go to find someone else who could maybe do better than me, knowing that I was always there to fill in if things didn't work out. And that's kind of what happened a lot of the time. But I found my niche and I loved it and worked out well for me.
What's funny, Murray Fisher writing in, he's watching in Brandon today. He says, anyone ever noticed that as soon as Mike McCullough was drafted in 2003, the Riders became a winner?
That's my uncle, Murray.
Well, Mike reminded me of that.
I did, jokingly, yeah.
I don't think you were joking.
Well, I was kidding. I mean, just it happened to work. I think I reminded you halfway through my career, but yeah, I think I was part of two losing seasons in my 11 years, so I was very lucky. You know, obviously four Grey Cups, two winning Grey Cups, so... You know, I just happened to fall into the time, probably the most successful 10, 11-year spurt in Rider history, to be perfectly honest with you. And I just happened to be a part of it. So
statistically, you realized it at the time. When did it make you realize how grateful you should be for that? Because that was a very special time.
I think after you're done, when you're talking to some of the other alumni and guys, you know, like the Aldegs and the Reeds, and, you know, they went to the playoffs a lot, but they also missed a lot. I mean, Aldeg played, what, 17 years, and I think he probably missed the playoffs, unfortunately, half that time. So...
Or more,
yeah. And, you know, they're talking about the, you know, the 80s when it was really rough and you couldn't get fans out. I mean, we never had that problem. You know, ever since I got here, it was, you know, I'm from Ontario. I didn't know the issues the Riders had to go through as a franchise. You know, I just was part of the success and seeing what fans are here all the time. They, you know, they recognize me of all people in the grocery store, like the bottom of the totem pole. So I couldn't imagine what it was like, you know, 30 years prior when you had to basically have a fundraiser to keep the team alive.
It is hard for a lot of people to realize, but good times now. And you're in that stadium a lot. I assume going to games, you're still doing the radio pre and post game. How much do you enjoy that? I love listening to you because you don't care what comes out of your mouth.
You can say what you want. I'm like, yeah, well, the Riders don't employ me anymore, so I can basically say what I want. And you know, in the last regime, I wasn't happy with certain things, as some people weren't, but I also wanted to give credit where credit was due. But this year, you know, I'm a huge Dickinson fan. I think JO's made some great moves. I think one of his best moves, you know, nothing against him, was getting rid of Kolaros. You know, not only getting rid of him and making Fajardo, whatever his last name is.
Fajita.
You know, making him the bona fide, but also getting Kolaros kind of away, so whatever decisions he makes won't affect the club, because I think Claro shouldn't be playing football anymore for his own health. I mean, as a human being, he should not be playing. And the Riders getting rid of him basically said, like, we wash our hands of him. So it was, I think that was probably one of the best moves JO's made in his 10 years as a GM.
You guys were very close. You guys hosted a golf tournament together for many years. So I know Jeremy pretty well, not as well as you. I'm not surprised by this at all. As a matter of fact, I thought he should have got the job ahead of Chris Jones when they hired Chris, but he's just nailing everything.
Yeah, I mean, and there's going to be downtime. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's just, but just to see the people who maybe thought J.O. couldn't do it, so far, I think the early results look really good. And Dickinson, too. I know he wasn't the quote-unquote sexy pick. And would he have been the head coach pick if they had a, you know, 6-8 month off season or whatever to figure out who they wanted? Maybe not. But I think maybe the short time frame actually, you know, benefited Rider fans, because they went with Dickinson. He was a known commodity. He was he knew the team, and frankly, he's a great coach. He's coached me, well respected. I mean, I have an immense respect for him, because to me, he's a good coach and a good man in a sometimes very terrible game that have some coaches that are sneaky and backhanded. And Dickie's not like that. So I'm so happy, and you know, it's kind of like it's rejuvenated my fandom in the Riders.
Yeah, I you know what? It's funny you bring that up, because I've heard that a lot this year. There's just something about the way this team carries itself. There's something about it's almost like it's more of a team again. I kind of got the feeling, Mike and Rod, over the last 2 or 3 years that Chris was a defensive guy, and we're going to win with defense and specialty teams. I don't even care. As long as our offense doesn't turn the ball over, we'll score enough points on defense and specialty teams to win. And I always thought, I don't know, that seems a bit off to me that you would create that sort of a vibe or culture on your team, that certain aspects are more important than others. Am I the only one that thinks this, or do you see the team coming together a little bit more this year?
Yeah, I think personally, just having known Dickie and been coached by him, I believe that he's letting the players play and he's letting the coaches coach. Because I think Dickie is overseeing everybody like he's supposed to, but he's also letting McAdoo do what McAdoo thinks will make the team successful, making Shivers do the same thing on defense. and he's not nitpicking. He's not in every meeting saying, well, I would prefer this. I think he's letting them do their thing while supporting them, but also making sure he keeps them reined in. So, I mean, that's just my personal opinion. I have no idea. I know Jones, he was very successful, but he's also very controlling. And I think he wanted things done his way on defense and on offense. And now I think those coaches can breathe. You know, everybody was on McAdoo, and myself included. I thought, oh, his offense looks stale. But now this year, when he's been freed up, it looks like, wow, okay, he does know what he's doing. And maybe just found the right pieces, and now he's allowed to call the plays he wants to play in this, call in the situation he wants to call them in. So that's what I believe. I think Dickinson has allowed everybody to have that freedom that where they can relax and just play football and enjoy the game again.
Sounds like what Kahari Jones is doing in Montreal. I was just out there and witnessed it firsthand. Same thing. It was a casual, relaxed vibe off him, and the team played that way. Do you think that's the way the game's going? Because they're still hard-ass coaches.
Totally. But I think the days of the Vince Lombardis and the not having water break, that's done with. You can't do that anymore. It doesn't work. You know, yelling and screaming. In all sports. And whether you like it or not, you can't just tear a strip off one guy or the whole team anymore because, you know, in all honesty, players now, and even in my regime, they're not as tough. They can't handle criticism. They don't like being yelled at. That's just the way it is. And even in kids sports, I coach kids sports. You can't be too stern with kids because then they break down and the parents come, why are you getting mad at my kid? I'm like, because your kid's screaming and talking while I'm trying to talk. That's why. Your kids should know that that's not okay. And that's kind of where we're going. And even, you know, I think athletes in general sucks. And you can't treat them, you know, you can't have that hard approach anymore, which may be good or bad, but
yeah,
you got to adapt with the times.
It's almost like I agree with that psychology. We can't, you know, you really shouldn't be tearing the strip off of a 10-year-old. But sometimes you have to.
I think I've done it once or twice by accident.
Well, so have I, trust me. Like, you know, what's that old saying? Let he who has not sinned cast the first stone. I mean, I'd be the first to admit I've gone overboard maybe at times, but it's almost kind of like it's going so far the other way.
Yeah.
The kids are too soft now, too. Totally, I'm not sure what the...
Well, I mean, like these guys, it's just... You know, you got to let them be, but you can't treat everybody the same. It just doesn't work. I mean, especially at the pro level, you cannot treat everybody the same. Guys like the Genos, the Dresslers, if needed, they get treated differently. And you understand that. If they ever came to Geno in his last year, you know, last 3 years, said, you don't have to practice, you can just play, we'd all be okay with that. Like, yeah, that's totally fine. But if you're a first year, you don't get that. If you're a fifth year, you don't get that.
And you shouldn't.
No, nor should you. But not everybody gets treated equal. The game of sport is not equal when it gets to the pro level. So I think Dickie does a really good job of holding people accountable without embarrassing them. That is a very key trait, because if you embarrass somebody in front of their peers in the locker room, that could be disastrous for one player, many players, or even the coach.
There's another coach like that. He goes by the name Ken Miller.
Yeah.
And he will join us in hour two. Gene Mikowski as well. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Employee pricing is back. These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price.
Get this certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox LT all-wheel drive for only $24,998 plus tax. Or check out this certified pre-owned 2018 Jeep Compass Limited 4x4 for just $28,750 plus tax. We have over 40 low-mileage Jeeps in stock at Canada's largest GM-certified pre-owned retailer.
You pay what we pay!
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people, just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at urinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.